Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's call is being recorded. Now for introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Matt Kalinske. You may begin, sir.
Thank you, Denise. Good morning, afternoon, or evening. Welcome to today's WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. My name is Matt Kalinske, and I'll be the moderator for this call. This call is being recorded, and within 24 to 48 hours, an MP3 file and presentation will be available on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site so that you may replay it at your convenience. If you have not yet joined the e-meeting, please do so now. An e-meeting URL is available to you from the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. If you're unable to access the e-meeting at this time, you may access the presentation from the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site, or by going to any IBM.com site and typing the tech doc number 700-6787, that's 700-6787, in the search box in the black section at the very top of the page. You may also instant message the co-moderator, Dick Hamilton, by clicking on rjham@us.ibm.com in the e-meeting attendee list, and he will assist you. Today's presenter is Miriam Sepulveda. She is currently a customer support engineer for WBI Modeler and Monitor. Miriam has been a specialist on the Modeler product, assisting customers with advanced business process modeling requests since 2004. She specializes in simulation, analysis, and BPEL transformation areas. Previously, she worked with IBM Global Services for 5 years as a business analyst, designing Lotus Notes and WebSphere web applications for IBM Internet sites. Today's topic is converting process models from WBI Workbench into WBI Modeler 5. It will include a PowerPoint presentation followed by a question and answer session. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, the lines will be open for a question and answer session. If you are in the e-meeting, you will see the presentation. At this point, I would like to turn the presentation over to Miriam.
Welcome. My name is Miriam Sepulveda. I'm currently a Level 2 support engineer specialized in supporting the WebSphere Business Modeler and Monitor products. This presentation reviews 3 steps required to successfully convert business process models created using the IBM WebSphere Business Integration Workbench version 4.4 into WebSphere Business Modeler version 5.1.1. From here on, I will use the short names for those software products as Workbench and Modeler, respectively. The intended audience is for business analysts and IT architects who have used Workbench and intend to migrate the models into the Modeler. User knowledge on both versions is assumed. Let's view the agenda. For today, I'm going to be giving you a brief introduction of the Modeler product. Then I will go into the migration from Workbench organization. In the steps required, we'll give you some tips about how to prepare a Workbench organization. Then we will go into the steps required to migrate. And lastly, a review of the migrated elements in the Modeler with tips to clean up the process models. On to the next presentation, let's start with the next WBI Modeler, the next generation in business process modeling tools. On the next page, this is part of the Modeler is a part of the WebSphere Business Integration family of products, which provides process integration with capabilities enabling to optimize and integrate business processes to keep them in line with your strategic business goals. With a modeler, business analysts can model, simulate, and optimize business processes. Once the business analysts are satisfied, the same models from the start form the starting point for the deployable software assets that IT will create to run the business processes, using, for example, WebSphere Business Integration Servers. This server will choreograph the process activities across the organization based on the business process models. Finally, Once those assets are deployed, business operation managers and obviously also business analysts will have the ability to monitor those deployed processes. They can analyze their performance and make adjustments to the models as appropriate using the Westphere Business Integration Monitor product. Let's go to page 5 to discuss briefly some of the modeler features. In the next page, you can see the launching of our WBI modeler. This is looking for the latest version, which is 5.1.12. In the next page, I'll be able to highlight some of the characteristics of version 5 at a glance. The modeler is a business visualization and analysis tool. It closes the gap between the line of business and IT by communicating the business requirements within a single tool that can manage transformation. It does provide a detailed analytical capability in which the line of business user, which could be the business analyst, can now capture, among other things, resources, cost, timing, and decision percentages in your process. It does allow to quickly model and analyze processes with more granularity, providing simulations that contain static and dynamic analysis reports. Process documentation is now accomplished easily in a single tool by allowing companies to fulfill the aspects of regulatory compliance around business controls and reporting. Documentation can be in either in form of documents that the process model can reference to. This is also a tool that is a critical component of business-driven development. Business-driven development is the paradigm where all of your IT software structure is driven by the business need. The modeler defines a common shared environment and an integrated approach to this software development, aligning the line of business, development, and operational teams to improve processes. Let's move to page 7 to see how this is accomplished. In this page, you can see 3 views of the same business process. The integrated approach now is capable of presenting these 3 views in the same business tool. The first one, in the left side, you'll see the business analyst who will be creating and modeling the business processes. They will be using these models to analyze the process by running simulation with what-if scenarios. They can collect and analyze simulation results to further refine the models. Now, the business analyst and the IT architects can also see their models in 2 implementation modes, which are FDL and BPO. This can be then used to refine the model or implementation with 2 teams integrated in one same view. Once the IT architects and business analysts decide, they can now start going to the right side where the IT architect will then have a transformed view of the business process. For example, in this case, I'm showing BPO code, and then the IT architects will continue with the integration of this business process into development. In the next page, we will highlight some of the new features for modeler version 5.1.12. Some of the new features include task classifications and colors. Think pink or blue for me. There is an option to add labels to the top and bottom of the objects. You also can attach and launch URLs from tasks and processes. This is a useful feature for launching, for example, a web page that displays the process documentation or, for example, opening an Adobe PDF version of the process document. Converting a local task So a global task is a very convenient feature when brainstorming processes to convert an initially designed local task for reuse with other processes. Let's move on to page number 9. Why migrate your existing workbench organization models? One of the main reasons is that the modeler, in summary, provides advanced simulation capabilities to run what-if business scenarios. We are also offering 3 modes that allow for easy viewing and transition from the business process model to the development models. There are 3 views that I spoke to. The first one is the organizational mode, which is you can make it as a default mode for the business analyst. If you do switch to the BPO mode, you will be then be able to take a look and a view of the same business model with the same look and feel, but with lots of characteristics removed or highlighted that will only be available for BPO mode when you move and migrate for services implementation. You also will have an FDL mode, which allows you to look the process model, how it will be looking when it will be implemented in an MQ workflow development. We do have a very comprehensive set of static and dynamic analysis reports to flexibly model more the what-if scenarios. An extensive configuration of statistical parameters for models. These parameters, for example, can include statistical simulation of events arrival or task time variations. Preparing for version 6 is one of the most important parts why you want to move out of the workbench. In version 6, in a future release, we will be offering the key performance indicators required for the full round-trip business process management. Next, for most of you, this is the most familiar launching the WBI modeler. Let's go and start with working on the migration from the workbench on page 13. Migrating processes for models from the 4.2.4 to 5.1 is very easy. Most of the elements, you just have to follow some very easy steps to migrate your 4.2.4 organization files into a new 5.1 project. Most of the elements get migrated and then map into most 5.1 elements from Workbench into Modeler are straightforward. Some elements, though, do not migrate or do get mapped to very different elements. Let's see an important note on page 14. There are 2 modes of migration, Workbench MQ versus non-MQ migration. You may want to select the Workbench non-MQ user preference when you are migrating your models for general purposes. The Workbench MQ user, you're going to select this choice if you're going to be building the model with the intention of automating the processes using MQ workflow. The model that gets imported with this option contains the attributes required by MQ workflow, such as mapping, expressions, and application information. In the future, in version 6, we'll get also business measures or key performance indicators, and also one of the important parts when you model and you migrate models in this mode is that you're going to look to be in the FDL mode for further integration. Let's get into the next page. We're going to be starting to prepare a Workbench 4.2.4 organization. I'm going to go through a little list of tips that highlight mainly what are the different things that we want to achieve and look for before migrating your Workbench organization. First of all the objects, rule number 1, all the objects must have names and connections. Ensure that all the objects in the organization are named and they all have valid input and output connectors. Unconnected objects can cause problems in the migration. Next. Minimize or eliminate go-to nodes. Go-to nodes are a really interesting element in some of these modeling tools. I've seen it in Workbench. I've seen it with when you draw models with Visio. Go-to nodes, when we transform them into modeler, get converted directly into a connection. Sometimes you use those elements of go-to nodes to provide a less cluttered view when all of the different connections are going through different tasks, because you're connecting a task that is way behind in the process to a task that is further down the road. What happens is that sometimes these connections are difficult to follow visually, since they can run backwards across the diagram, and often cross over multiple connections. The next page, you can see a mapping of the go-to elements. The go-to node, the top drawing reflects the workbench model using the go-to elements. We have the GT accept credit. And the bottom diagram shows the modeler version after it gets migrated. You can see that the go-to accept credit go-to element has been replaced with a connection. In this case, I illustrated a very simple connection, but be aware definitely that in a model with many go-to elements and different going backwards and forwards in the model, the result may be very difficult to follow after transforming. Let's see rework nodes in the next page, which are the same element of go-tos tied up with a rework node. All of you familiar with Workbench are familiar with the rework nodes. Rework nodes are also transforming to connections during migration. The resulting connections also will be very difficult, especially with rework, because those do tend to be running backwards, as the work rework implies going back, and they will definitely cross over multiple other connections. One thing to notice here is to be aware of the disconnected rework nodes. If you see the bottom diagram, the R with the little cloud represents a disconnected rework node. This will cause problems for you when you are transforming. Let's go to the next page. Here is a visualization on how difficult it can be to follow a rework loop after it gets transformed. So you will have in the top the reapprove rework loop. So we have gone after correcting an error, we want to go back to the reapprove portion, so we put the rework loop as reapprove. When this gets migrated, you will see in the bottom screen in Modeler the connection being created directly, which I highlighted here in red. In this particular case, I was able to arrange this one very neatly, but definitely this is not the case on all of the different scenarios. On page 21, I give one of my recommendations. My recommendation for a process that uses rework elements is to replace the rework elements with blocks. What you want to do, if your model uses a loopback, remodel these portions as a block with an exit condition. So you will have a process that is contained within a block that will be repeated until an exit condition is met. Blocks transform to global processes, and these global processes can be inserted, for example, into a looping element, such as a while loop, which is also supported, for example, in Beaver mode, besides FDO. So cycles are definitely not supported in BPL or FDL modes. So this particular model that we're showing here with a rework loop, and it gets connected backwards with a connector. The direct connector is not a supported process going forward implementation. This is a very key point for business analysts to follow. On page 22, I noticed a very interesting fact is that when you are using the non-MQ user, which is my recommendation for going towards an organizational mode if we don't know what later implementation we're going to be looking at, is that it does add a new element. Besides adding the connector, it does add the element of a merge element. It's very interesting that that happens. It does not happen in the non-MQ, in the MQ user version, sorry. Next, another important aspect of Workbench, which is sort of a hidden asset for Workbench, is media information. The media information is contained in the connections from one task to another, and this media information is not migrated. The media information is not preserved. Let's see in the next page what to do with media. If you do have any media information in your connection, replace it as follows. You're going to be creating a task that represents the act of moving, for example, data from one point to another. So in our example here, we have the media, which is, I call it a messenger. We have a document. That document needs to be stored in the original document is going to be stored in the storage place at the branch. And we have the document, and we're receiving it, and we're moving it to that branch to be stored. The actual connector contains that information of moving. Now, what we want to do, we're going to be replacing that connection information with a task. In this case, for example, I did say send an original to the branch. So that gets replaced with a task, and also gets replaced with a resource. We want to add a new resource called, for example, in my case, Messenger. We're going to be associating the resource to this new task, and then we're going to be inserting that task. Once we do that and we continue the migration, we will have a task associated to the transportation or the medium that we are. The resource will be migrated as a bulk resource. In next page, we can see now how this got transformed. After we did the preparation on that previous model, the additional resources migrated to the bulk resource. As you can see, also bulk resource messenger one is how it got transferred. And it gets associated to the task. I must have changed my mind since I called it here mail design document. Let's continue with transfer duration in a connection. Transfer duration data also, which is part of the connection, is not migrated either into modeler. To preserve this timing information, you may want to also carry out the same type of following steps. So you will have, for example, the path that we created earlier, and we want to indicate, for example, that it does represent the act of moving data from one point to another, and then we can associate a working duration with the task. This is in order to indicate how long it takes to move the data from one point to the next. Now on to page 27. This is one of the hotspots for Workbench and modeler transformation. Files are required at process start. If you're going to be planning to use simulation, you may want to add a file at the start of every process. You need also to connect the file to the first step of the process. And if the process does contain multiple sets of tasks running in parallel, connect the file to the first task of each of these sets. Again, if the file is busy, the migrated model will be using start nodes. If you do not have a file at the beginning of a process, what you will have to do, the monitor itself, the migration will convert it into a start node. We'll add that start node. What happens is when you're running those simulations and you have a file, then the task will start without requiring an input in order to start the sub-process or process. I would like to move on to page 27. In page 27, I'm showing here also that if you have the files, I'm sorry, got the wrong page. Okay, we already talked about the files going into process starting. So the next page. Process with missing files will add a start node. It's the same thing that we discussed before. So let's go on to page 29. This is another important part. We discussed here that you need the file at the beginning of the process. Now, when you are talking about sub-processes, you also need a file to lead to and from the sub-process. And each sub-process also needs to have a starting file and an ending file. Now, they both need to be compatible in order for the transformation to work. I think this is also the same thing with Workbench, but let's go to the next page. You will have unpredictable conversions when a sub-process without a file is connected to a file. Take a look at this scenario. In this scenario, the sub-process has no file at all. The sub-process called process no file. We are connecting this process to the credit document and element or file as an input. And also we're saying that this process will continue out of the sub-process with the file document. When you convert this into a modeler, the credit document will never be associated as an input to the process with no file. The conversion understands that the process no file has no connecting files, so it will not convert to associated business items. So it will connect directly into the process, but it will not be associated to this particular element. Notice there that you will be losing your file connections, or your business item will not be connected anymore. So you will lose that particular part. Let's go to page 31. This is a little bit of a different scenario. We do have a process block called process credit information. This particular process has a file input and output called credit document as the input and as the output. But if you notice, our model says that the credit approved document is the one that is feeding the process credit task or block. We know that they're incompatible because the process credit information file is looking for credit document, not for credit approved document. What happens when we convert this sub-process is that it will create the input as defined in the sub-process. So you will have the input for the credit request, the credit document, and you will have lost the credit approved document information. This is a very important aspect. Obviously, this would have been an error in modeling in Workbench, but these are the results. You can notice also that there is a little additional output connector generated that has no connection. So the results when you do have this type of errors in the Workbench are sort of unpredictable to match. In page 32, you will you may continue to verify the compatibility of PHYs. You want to make sure that you have a PHY at the output of a process, because a PHY, a missing PHY at the output will cause the task after the sub-process to start running once the sub-process has completed without waiting to receive any information from that sub-process. It will cause any data flow in the sub-process to be ignored, and it just creates a model based only in control flow. On the next page, I have something that is interesting related to input and output, and we'll go back a little bit later on to this one. But you need to create stop nodes in your migrated processes because they will, especially if you don't have a sub-process that has a PHY, it doesn't end with a PHY, when you're running simulations, it will fail. So it will be always important. It's one of the reasons also why PHYs are important in processes and sub-processes. On to page 34. You want to do, after you prepare all your Workbench organization, you want to run the validation tool before migration. You want to assure that the process models to be migrated are error-free. So you will go into your Workbench, select the process validation, process model validation, or you can type Alt-M, and you are going to run the validation tool, correct any errors before migrating. Lastly, at this point, business measures are not imported into Modeler 5.1. The same, we already mentioned, any related objects such as location and expressions are related to the business measures are lost in this migration to 5.1. In the future releases of version 6, they will be available to migration. Let's go on to page 37, and I'm going to be starting to briefly look at the migration steps. After you have ensured that your original model is as clean and complete as possible, you can proceed carrying out the migration by importing the org file into a new project into Integration Modeler. First, close the organization that you want to migrate, and let's go to really quick on this step. A caveat here, you can only import organizations that are created in version 4.4 with any fixed pack. I would strongly recommend that you have the latest fixed pack number 3 with the latest patches applied to it. If you're using a different version, you want to first upgrade your Workbench. Open the organization with the latest and greatest upgrade from Workbench, and then save it. On to 39. Another caveat when you're importing, it's in Modeler, you can only import an organization into a new project. So every time, let's say that you have changes into your Workbench and you want to import them into Modeler, you will have to create a complete new project. If you do want to use any elements of an organization in, let's say, in a previously created model for the previous version of your org files, what you want to do then is first import the organization into a new project, the latest changes. Then you're going to export the specific element that you did change, and then you can import them back into another existing project. We're going to be launching, we're going to go through the steps really quick on how to import. You're going to be launching the WModeler. you want to select a workspace, one of the recommendations on issues that we have seen before is that you may want to use the shortest path possible for the directory. This is just a general note. And do not open in the root of the drive, like on CD or even on documents and settings. Let's go to the next step. I'm going to go really quick here. So the steps are to import an organization into the business modeler, you're going to right-click on the project tree and select import. It's important to know that do not use the file import versions and use better the project tree to get to this screen. The import wizard will open and you're going to be selecting WebSphere Business Integration Modeler 424.org and you're going to click next. In the source directory, you're going to be specifying the source directory of the organization file. Once you locate, you can do a click browse, and you'll have the browse for folder windows open. You're going to navigate to the folder that you want, and you're going to click OK. The window will close, and now you will see the files field that displays all the available organizations in that directory. Select the organization file that you want to import. You're going to specify a name for the new project to create from organization. So you'll have to click on New, and then the New Project Wizard opens in the New Name field. Enter a name for the new project. Make it meaningful, but also make it as short as possible. Don't go for 356 characters on the project name. Then you're going to be clicking Finish, and this will create the wizard now closes. The new project gets created with the name that you specified, and its name now is going to be appearing in the target project field. In the next page, we want to go to page first here. If you want to create a simulation profile based on the organization that you are importing, you want to select Create Simulation Snapshot. If you do leave this checkbox clear, then the simulation information contained in the original organization is not migrated. On to the next step, the final step. You're going to select the mapping preference you want to use for import. Again, remember that we talk about selecting for Workbench MQ user. If you're going to be building a model with the intention of automating processes using MQ workflow, a model that it gets imported with this option contains all the attributes required by MQ workflow. You're going to select Workbench non-MQ user for all other purposes. You may click Finish then and wanted to have a note too also on the preference that you do choose here have an effect on the elements as we discussed, and in sometimes it will affect also whether a particular element is migrated at all. If you do have an organization in which some of the models are meant for using with MQ workflow and some models are not, then it is recommended that you import the organization file twice, creating a new project for each option, and then you can import and export back to reunite the processes into one single project. What we're going to take a look here is after you migrate, you may want to do a final revision on what has been migrated and your new model. Let's go to page 49. Task. A task is a very straightforward element that gets converted. A task converts to a local task. within processes. Now, a task with a service application will convert to local task also only if the non-MQ user option was selected. Let's go on to page 50 to see this. This is a task that has an application. This particular task, when it gets converted in the MQ user mode, just gets converted to a service. It will not migrate as a task. So Access Risk has a task associated called Access Credit Risk. When you migrate it into the right, you can see the right picture says it will get migrated as a service and it will capture the name of the application. In page 51, we're talking here about sub-processes and how sub-processes convert. A sub-process converts to a global process. If the sub-process is never used, it will be dropped from the model during migration. In page 52, remember I spoke to you that you want to convert your lookbacks and your rework into blocks. Now, what happens with blocks? When you convert blocks, they convert to local processes in the MQ user mode. Now, if we go now to the next screen, you'll see what happens to a block process in the non-MQ. This is the general, no application specific mode, and then a block converts to a global process. Let's see on page 54, stop converts to an end node, not to a stop node. This is very, very important. Stop nodes and end nodes have very different meanings in modeler. When you do have a stop node in a processing workbench, it will be converted to an end node. Now, stop nodes are required when you are in the simulation mode. When you are working in simulation mode, if you have stop nodes and they get converted to end nodes, then they will be needed to be added manually. If you do have end nodes, you will be needing to replace these end nodes with stop nodes to run simulation, but end nodes are required for VPL mode. This is a very, very topic that we need to address, and we can probably take a look at some additional help in the documentation that explains more about the end nodes and the stop nodes. Let's go to page 55. Again, business measures and related expressions are not migrated in release 5.1. Let's go. This topic is very extensive and we have a limited time today, but if you go to the reference in the help documentation, you can look into the migration reference. There is a migration from RESTphere Business Integration Workbench 4.2.4 to Integration Modeler, and it will go through all of this more information, additional information on how to prepare the organization for migration, how to import, we will review those steps that I mentioned here, and then how to clean up a project after it gets migrated, and it will give you the full list of elements that get migrated, the elements that do not get migrated, and a mapping for those elements that get migrated but you don't see a one-to-one relationship as expected. On page 57, we do have additional RESTphere product resources where you can look into all of these different URLs to sign up for the latest trends in the WebSphere technology, learning about other upcoming webcasts, and accessing show me demos and tutorials, or learning about how to do the electronic service request for submitting problems electronically. Please sign up to receive the weekly technical My Support emails. With this, I want to thank you for attending this presentation today. And remember to visit the modeler support pages for additional information. We will be proceeding now to the questions and answers section. Thanks.
Thanks. At this time, we'd like to open up the line for any questions.
Very good, sir. If you would like to ask a question during this period, you would simply press star and then the number one on your telephone keypad. And if you're in the queue and you no longer want to ask your question, you would simply press star 9. In the event you enter the digits incorrectly, please allow 5 seconds before re-entering. And again, just as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And at this time, there are no questions. You may continue.
At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. Remember, a replay of this presentation will be available on the IBM WebSphere Technical Exchange site within the next day or two. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which also will be announced on this site. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Miriam, for presenting.